Well, we want to pivot now to the topic of crypto. Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari said at a summit earlier today that cryptocurrencies are, quote, 95% fraud, hype, noise, and confusion. To break down some of these remarks, we're bringing in Nick Day, CoinDesk Managing Editor of Global Policy and Regulation, to discuss. And Nick, thank you so much for joining us. I want to start out first from those remarks from Neel Kashkari. Really, this dismissal we've been hearing from many of these Fed governors and leaders in the Federal Reserve, what should investors be making of some of these remarks?
Hi, thank you for having me. I think, you know, we're seeing more and more Fed officials weigh in on crypto generally, and Mr. Kashkari's remarks are just kind of the latest sign of that. Even just taking him at face value, there's more than 10,000 cryptocurrencies right now. So he's saying, you know, 9,500 of them are, in his view, potentially, you know, scams. I think, you know, any investor who's paying attention to crypto beyond just a top handful of cryptocurrencies is probably, you know, hopefully doing a fair amount of research into what exactly they're, you know, thinking of investing in or participating in before they get too deep into it. But it is definitely a broader, you know, sign. Even today's FOMC minutes had a crypto mention. So a lot of attention being paid by the Fed today.
Well, Nick, when someone like Neel Kashkari, though, I mean, this is an individual who was right there next to Hank Paulson during the financial collapse, who understands finance, to come out and say, he actually was going to say 99% are fraud, and then he said 95. Is it possible he doesn't quite understand the true asset value that these cryptocurrencies perform today? I mean, at one point, $2 trillion in market cap for all of them.
Yeah, I can't speak for, you know, how he's looking at this, but anyone who is, you know, like I said, getting into crypto beyond just the top, you know, dozen or two dozen coins is probably looking at it for more than just, you know, is this going to become more expensive later on? They're maybe looking at, is this a governance token I want to participate in? Or, you know, do I want to, you know, be part of this community by, you know, using this token that lets me participate? So, it's very possible that, you know, if you're looking at it purely from, you know, is this an investment, then, yeah, some of these tokens make absolutely zero sense from that perspective. But they do absolutely, you know, extend beyond just that particular use case now.
And then pivoting from what some Fed officials have been saying to, of course, what's happening on the fiscal side. Of course, we just got the Senate passing that $1 trillion infrastructure bill. There is that crypto tax provision, the possibility that some who are adjacent to the industry, the miners and the non-broker type entities, will get swept up in this new tax regulation. What really is the risk of that? And what changes would you like to see be made to the wording in this bill?
I think the jury's still out on what the actual impact might look like. Even if the House passes the bill as it stands and the president signs it into law, the Treasury Department's still going to have to publish its interpretation and, you know, create guidance that says, okay, here's exactly how we're looking at this. Here's what we want to see happen. And, you know, I'm sure the folks at Treasury are looking at this, and they're not going to try and extract taxes from entities that, you know, simply cannot comply. The concern, of course, from the industry has been that, you know, they're not sure what this interpretation is going to look like. So as it stands, it could very well be that, you know, miners and other types of node validators or other parties that don't contain, you know, carry certain KYC information because they don't have customers for transactions might have to comply. And the changes that the industry is advocating for is just to very explicitly say, you know, if your only role in a crypto network is to provide security to the network, meaning, you know, you're a miner or you're a validator for a different type of network, or if you're, you know, a developer just trying to publish software that's open source, or if you're trying to create a wallet, then, you know, you should be carved out of the language of the bill. If you do have customers that you're facilitating transactions for, and, you know, that could be an exchange or an OTC desk, then you should absolutely be covered by the language of the bill and fill out these broker reporting forms.
Nick, a lot of people in crypto find it just incredibly exciting, the potential for all of this. Is there a country that's doing this perhaps better and a way when it comes to regulation or potential regulation that we here in the United States should be looking at and perhaps considering emulating?
I don't think there's any, you know, single country that's kind of the gold standard right now. A lot of folks do say, you know, countries like Switzerland have a much more advanced regulatory framework for crypto. And I think that's, you know, maybe the key there is just, you know, how much explicit guidance or legislation is there. A lot of the companies, you know, they want to comply with, you know, different regulations, but they just do not think they have the clarity to be able to do so. So whether that's in securities law and issuing tokens, whether that's in tax compliance, what they're really looking for is for government efficient agencies to say, you know, this is exactly what we're looking for. Here's, you know, a checklist, or here's a bright lines test. Here's something that you can look at and say, okay, we will comply with this by doing this.
All right, Nick Day, CoinDesk Managing Editor of Global Policy and Regulation, thank you so much for joining.